Jonathan Coe, adapted by Simon Littlefield. Episode 3, Bring Me Sunshine.
The Billboard, May 29th, 1977. Steve Richards as Othello, interviewed by Dog Anderton. A brave piece of casting has slashed through the King William's fascist regime with a safety pin. Already well known as the undisputed star of both the Rugby First 15 and the Cricket First 11, Steve is a newcomer to the world of backstage tantrums and first night nerves. But one thing seems certain. Both schools are convinced this is going to be an Othello to end England's dreaming.
Cicely Boyd as Desdemona, interview by Claire Newman. There's a certain kind of hair which is just made for tossing, and without a doubt, Cicely Boyd has it in spades. La Boyd can toss with disdain, toss in agreement, toss with impatience, and of course, how many English masters have found this out since joint lessons were introduced? She can toss flirtatiously too. No wonder that you often hear her awestruck schoolmates remarking, "What a tosser," whenever they pass her in the corridor.
Othello, The Moor of Venice, reviewed by Benjamin Trotter. Cicely Boyd's Desdemona asks Iago, "What wouldst thou write of me if thou should praise me?" Indeed, the point about Desdemona, surely, is that she has to have some kind of spirit, some kind of pluck and resilience, if she is not just to come across like some annoying little wallflower that the men happen to be fighting over. But Miss Boyd's minimalist effort, either willfully or through sheer incompetence, betrayed the verse at every point.
From Arthur Pusey Hamilton, MBE. Dear Sir, I much enjoyed the school's recent production of Othello and found that the climax illustrated most powerfully Enoch Powell's chilling vision of rivers of blood and provided an ample demonstration of the perils of unrestricted immigration. Bravo! I am writing, however, to complain about the moral degeneracy which met my astonished eyes at the so-called cast party. Imagine my disgust at interrupting the two principals, Othello and Desdemona themselves, who concealed their identities no longer, occupied on one of the beds in a procedure which could hardly fail, were it to proceed to its seemingly inevitable conclusion, to result in miscegenation.
The walking option. For the third week in a row, the members of Mr. Pigeon's group got hopelessly lost last Wednesday. Next week, the option will also be open to the girls' school. Let's hope one of them brings an ordnance survey map.
The wanking option. The first meeting of this group was cancelled owing to mass non-attendance. It is believed the members were unable to read the relevant notice board.
How's the apology coming along?
What?
Well, I heard that the Chief Master ordered you to write an apology for the last edition of the Billboard. You're Benjamin.
And you're...
Cicely Boyd?
Yes, I... Look, I'm sorry.
The last few weeks have been dreadful. Unimaginable. That thing that Claire wrote, so hurtful.
I think she may be a bit jealous.
Well, ironic, isn't it?
Huh?
In a review of Othello.
Oh, God, yeah.
I hate myself. I really do. Do you know what that's like, Ben? Do you hate yourself?
Well, perhaps I should after what I wrote about you.
But in a way, what she wrote was easier to cope with. She was just being a bitch, and none of it was true. Whereas you did mean it, didn't you? You hated my performance. Everything about it.
No, I was being very harsh. What about Harding's letter?
About me and Steve. Well, it was wicked of them to print that. Steve's girlfriend saw it. She dumped him. It was only a little fling. I never meant to do any harm. Oh, God, I'm a terrible, terrible person.
No, I think...
You could be good for me, Ben.
Pardon?
I think you have an interesting mind. You've made me realise that everything about me has got to change. You know, they told me you didn't talk much, but I didn't expect you to be quite so silent. You're practically a Trappist.
Who's they?
That's not important. What's important is what you said about me.
I really am sorry. I don't know why I wrote all that stuff.
I'll tell you why you wrote it. Because it was true. Every word.
Well, I...
See, people seem to think you're probably some kind of genius, but not necessarily someone they want to be stuck on a train with.
Probably.
The world expects great things of you, Benjamin.
I don't think you should change, you know.
That's sweet of you, but you're wrong. What do you think of my hair?
I like it. It's very nice.
I want you to cut it off.
What?
I want you to cut it off. All of it.
I can't do that. I've never cut anyone's hair off. I'll make a mess of it.
Look, for God's sake, I'm not asking for a perm. One big snip ought to be enough. Here. I bought some scissors.
But why me?
Because you've seen right through me. Now, just gather it up in your hand and cut.
Are you sure about this?
I am.
You sure you want me to do it?
Yes, it has to be you.
All of it?
Yes. Now, cut it.
Here we go, then. Ready? Steady?
Go. Well?
Makes you look a bit like Joanna Lumley in the new Avengers. What should I do with your ponytail?
Oh, do whatever you want with it.
Right.
Good. That's a start. Well, thanks for the haircut.
You're welcome.
I'm sure we'll be seeing more of each other, so you'll be needing this.
What is it?
My phone number.
So, is Cicely your girlfriend now?
I don't think so, Doug. We seem to have lost everybody else.
I thought that was the whole point of the walking option. What do you mean, you don't think so? She either is or she isn't, isn't she?
Well then, she isn't. I think that's East over there.
So what did she mean when she said we'll be seeing more of each other?
I suppose she just meant that we were bound to bump into each other in the normal course of events. Look, don't you think it would be more helpful if, rather than standing here discussing my love life, or lack of it, we actually try to work out where the hell we are?
This is too much like hard work. Let's have a break. Fancy a beer?
Oh, yeah. We can't be that lost.
Oh, you only live a couple of miles from here.
Oh, I thought it looked familiar.
How often do you think about girls with no clothes on?
Quite often. All the time, in fact.
Do you undress girls with your eyes?
Sometimes. You know, you try not to stare at them that way. But then again, you can't help it. It's only natural.
Let me tell you, the female body is a beautiful thing.
Don't tell me. Not Claire.
No. Haven't even kissed Claire. Yet.
Oh, you mean that journalist in London?
Fionn Fox?
With four Fs.
So I'd give her an A. But haven't you ever, you know, seen one? Got a really good look?
Well, not really. Only on the telly.
May we. Where would the youth of Britain be without French films?
I am an antichrist.
Would you believe it, Ben? A brummy Johnny Rotten.
Christ. Don't know what I want, but I know how to get it. Well, 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 what do we have here? Captain Scott and Captain Oates heading off to the South Pole and calling it a day just outside Edgbaston.
Sod off, Paul.
Yeah, why aren't you at home anyway?
I can ride my bike whatever I want, can't I? I like to nurture the fantasy that this is a free country, despite the last gasp efforts of our socialist leaders. Of course, I realise that you, the man who never swerves from the path of duty...
Come on, Doug. I'm sure you don't want to listen to this gibberish any more than I do.
Yeah, go on. Shove off, Runty. Your ears are too young for our manly conversation.
Come on, Doug.
Don't tell me. You were discussing the possibility of overthrowing the powers that be at school and setting up a pupil Soviet.
Actually, we were discussing naked women.
Now, there's something you two won't be seeing in the near future.
Would you just go away?
I suppose you have.
Have what?
Seen a girl without any clothes on.
Yeah?
Oh, yes, of course you have. Loads of times, I suppose.
No, just the once.
Come on, then. Who was it?
What's it worth?
What it's worth is that if you tell me, I won't chop your legs off.
You'll have to catch me first. Farewell, comrades. I am an antichrist. I am an anarchist.
You've been a good friend to me, Irene. You probably think I've been very weak and foolish.
No, not at all. Anyway, it's not for me to say, is it? You have to stop saying plum, Barbara. You have to.
Yes. Oh, I need your advice, Irene. What should I do?
I just told you, you've got to stop seeing him.
I know. But the thing is, when I'm with him, he makes me feel so special. He makes me feel so alive, so appreciated. All we do is talk.
I know, you told me.
Oh, he talks so beautifully. That's what I like about him. He has
such a way with words, and now you told me that.
I love Sam. Oh, of course I do. He's been wonderful to me, but I just wish he had a bit more to say for himself sometimes.
So, Sam, now you've been seeing him again?
Yes.
What did he say?
He told me I had to make a choice. Him or me, he said.
What did you say to that?
I told him that he'd been a good husband, and I'd stay with him.
Good. That was the right thing to say. So now you've broken it off?
Not yet.
Well, then you've got to. Write him a letter and tell him you can't carry on like this.
I've tried that. Lots of times. He just writes back using all these words, these beautiful long words that I can't understand.
Barbara, you must stop seeing him.
Oh, you've been such a good friend to me, Irene, but the thing I need to know is, what's your advice? But though there may be
many tears... Cheers.
Good health.
Cheers. So why does Culpepper hate Richard so much?
I reckon it's all because he never managed to have it off with Cicely, and Steve did.
I don't know Culpepper fancied Cicely.
All boys fancy Cicely.
What? Even you, Doug?
Nah, not my type. Anyway, Culpepper didn't just fancy Cicely, he was obsessed with her. But anyway, last summer Culpepper thought he'd cracked it. He was playing tennis one day and then Cicely turns up with a friend to play on the next court. Before you know it, they've hooked up and they're playing mixed doubles. Now she's crap at tennis, but he doesn't tell her this. He just gets her thinking that she's playing with the wrong sort of racket. So he says to her, next time you're playing, you can borrow my racket. Of course, he's got the most expensive bloody racket in the world, you know, the sort that Bjorn Borg and In the Stars he played with or something. So she says, you know, thank you very much, you're my hero and what have you.
Probably tossed her hair too.
Yeah, I suppose so. Okay, so next week she's ready to borrow his racket. Culpepper puts on a big show of generosity. Just help yourself, he says, and gives her the combination to his locker. The only trouble is that Stubbs knows the combination. Don't ask me how, it's just the kind of thing he knows. And he gets there half an hour before Cicely and does his business.
What does he do?
Well, Cicely gets to the locker, opens it up, and this is what she sees. Every square inch of that locker is covered with porn. And standing there in the middle of it is Culpepper's lovely new tennis racket. But I don't suppose she took much notice of that.
Oh, what did she say to him?
I don't think she said anything.
Yeah, but the point is that Culpepper automatically assumed it was Richard's handiwork. Cicely.
Hello, darling. Mwah, mwah. Doug, Claire.
All right, Cicely.
Hi, sis. Doug and I were just leaving.
We were?
So we'll leave you two lovebirds to it.
Yeah. See ya.
Yeah.
Did that seem terribly rude?
Oh, I don't think so. I think there's something going on between those two tonight, anyway.
I find it hard to talk to Claire after what she wrote about me. I feel she betrayed me. I can't make her out at all, can you? People are so opaque, so enigmatic. That's fascinating, though, isn't it? That must fascinate you as a writer.
Yeah, it does. The complexities of social behaviour, the subtle nuances of character are all... Well, yeah, I'm really into that.
I find it rather terrifying to think how closely you must be watching everything I say and do. Do you write it all down afterwards?
I don't need to. I can always remember it.
I hope you aren't going to put me in your book. And I'm sure a portrait would be very unflattering. I'd emerge as some ridiculous egotist, totally obsessed with myself and not at all interested in the world around me.
I would never be so crass, Cicely. Well, not again.
Oh, don't apologise, Ben. You're very special to me, you know. We'll always be friends from now on. And not just ordinary friends. I'll always be grateful, you know, for what you did for me. The way you've revealed me to myself. And I've loved these meetings we've had.
loved these meetings. You used the past tense.
I know. I can't come here and see you anymore, Ben. I'm sorry.
Why not?
My boyfriend says he doesn't like it.
Boyfriend?
I've started going out with Julian.
Stubbs?
I know. It'll be a disaster. Oh, God, I'm a terrible, terrible person.
Bill.
Don't tell me, Sam. Is this about the stoppage?
Well,
I'm sick and tired of my members' interests being willfully misrepresented by the management. Any more of this and you could have another Grunwick on your hands.
A what?
Listen, Sam, Longbridge doesn't just make cars.
It doesn't?
No. The life of a factory...
Bill!
What?
I wanted to thank you.
Has this been approved by the board?
Bill, this is about Barbara.
Oh, right. Oh, sorry, Sam. So what's happened?
Well, I was all for confronting Plum, but then you suggested a more subtle approach.
So you spoke to Barbara then?
I did. I said, Barbara, we've reached a crossroads. This is the end of the road. It's him or me, I said. You have to choose between the devil and the deep blue sea.
And what did she say to that?
She told me to stop talking in cliches.
Mm.
The thing is, Bill, I'm not as smart as him. So I've started reading some of these fancy books that Ben brings back with him from school. I try and read a little bit every day. It's hard work, but I'll get there. Every dog has his day.
No. I think that's great, I really do.
I can win her back, Bill. I know I can. We're over the worst now. The clouds are parting and I can see light at the end of the tunnel. This is the calm after the storm.
The calm comes before the storm, Sam.
Yes. But every cloud has a silver lining.
This tape recorder, if that's okay.
Oh, I'm in your hands, Claire. This newfangled technology is beyond me.
Okay. Well, I'm talking to Bill Anderton, convener of the Works Committee at the British Leyland Longbridge plant, and a senior shop steward in the Transport and General Workers Union.
That's right.
Perhaps you could begin by telling me why you think the readers of the billboard should be interested in what happens at Longbridge.
Well, that's a very interesting question. I can think of two ways to answer it. One is simply to say that everyone who lives in Birmingham is affected by Longbridge. The dealers who sell the cars, the engineering firms who help supply the parts, the supermarkets where the men's wives spend their money at the end of the week. You know, the list goes on and on, but the second thing I'm going to say is more contentious, if you like. There's a struggle going on at Longbridge. The struggle between labour and capital. And this struggle is as old as history, or at least as old as capitalism.
What do you mean by that exactly?
Well, in this day and age, a worker's job is very vulnerable. It's very easy for someone to play on that and sow discord among people who would otherwise be standing together in a common cause. We even had someone putting Nazi pamphlets around the shop floor at Longbridge. Racism. It's to do with ignorance, fear of the unfamiliar. I mean, of course, it's not always the blacks or Asians. After the pub bombings, there was a lot of anti-Irish feeling on the shop floor. Oh, yes, nationalism's a terrible scourge, in my view. Anyone who tries to play the nationalist card and make political capital out of it is just beneath contempt. They're just the scum of the earth, those bastards, if you'll pardon my French.
So... to sum up, do you think the future of British Leyland is safe?
The future of the company is safe because ultimately, Longbridge is a good factory with a good workforce and a good product. So, ultimately, the bosses will find a way to make money out of it by hook or by crook.
Mr. Anderton, thank you very much.
Oh, I see. We're being formal now, are we? Well, thank you very much, Miss...
Newman.
Newman.
Claire Newman. Are you all right, Mr. Anderton? Something the matter?
No, I'm fine. Fine.
I'm Miriam's sister.
Miriam?
You had an affair with her. She was a typist. In the design room?
What about it? What do you want?
I thought we might, talk about her.
Where is she?
I don't know. We don't know.
Did your father send you here?
No. He doesn't know I'm here.
I spoke to him when she first went missing.
I know. Do you think she was pregnant?
Oh. Well, of course it's possible. Was there another man, do you think?
I don't think so. She was obsessed by you. She loved you.
Yeah, I know. But she was so unhappy. The whole stupid thing was causing so much misery. But even so, I mean, that wasn't the right way for it to end, just for Miriam to go away like that. I don't think it was her way, either. I don't think she chose to end it like that. Something funny must have happened. Something. Your sister's dead. That's what I think.
I'm going to turn this off now.
What do you want, Shakespeare? Or is it Mozart this week?
To be honest, I much prefer the work of more contemporary composers, such as Reich, Cage and Schnitker.
Bless you. What do you want?
Well, due to the unprecedented level of interest in the battle for... what is it you're doing?
Cross-country, you pillock.
The editors of the Billboard have decided, in their infinite wisdom, to rescind their policy of ignoring sporting events and cover the titanic struggle between yourself and Richards on the playing fields.
Good God! That's more than you usually say in a month.
Oh, no. I'm exhausted.
Have you seen it?
Well, what's the matter, Steve?
He's lost his lucky charm. You know what these natives are like? Superstitious as hell.
It's the St. Christopher's medal, which is about as Christian as they come, you tosser. And I had it here a minute ago.
You'll be accusing me of stealing it next, I suppose.
Nothing would surprise me where you're concerned.
Ah, yes, Paul.
Ronald, Mr. Fountain wants everybody outside in 5 minutes.
Ronald? Ronald? No, just nap off, Runty.
The Billboard, November 10th, 1977. White Riot at Grunwick. You may not think a film processing plant in West London would be of much interest to the King William's bourgeoisie, but if you're wondering why your holiday snaps of Berlin haven't come back from the chemist yet, then you need to be exposed to the truth. The mostly Asian workforce at Grunwick was sacked for protesting against their intolerable working conditions. Last week, the TUC organised a mass picket of the plant. I was privileged to travel to the smoke with union members and anti-racists and witnessed the greatest abuse of state power since Margaret Thatcher stole the milk out of our mouths.
But I couldn't have turned it down.
Why not? You weren't asked to do it, you were told to do it.
Look, if I turned it down, they might never give me a reference. They might write to Oxford or Cambridge and tell them I'm an untrustworthy troublemaker or something.
Well, I suppose you had no choice in the matter.
Claire.
Look, I think I'll walk home and leave you two to continue the class struggle on your own.
Claire?
What was all that about?
Don't ask. I think she's interested in someone else. She's certainly not interested in me.
Yeah, well, you see, I had to resign from the Billboard. How can I possibly support your attack on the school establishment when I'm one of them?
Excuse me, Mr. Prefect. Do you mind if I ring my bell at all? You won't put me in detention, will you?
Oh, just sod off, Paul.
How quickly the mighty have fallen. 5 minutes after selling out and you're already abusing your position.
I'll abuse you in a minute if you don't hop it.
So it is true. Power does corrupt.
You know, your evil little runty brother didn't make a bad job of that cross-country report.
Are you sure?
Well, once I'd subbed out all the glowing descriptions of Culpepper's heroic struggle.
So, who did win?
You mean you don't know? Oh, you live in a world of your own, don't you? Richards, of course. Culpepper was spitting blood.
Rivers of it, I bet.
It's a shame you had to resign.
Well, how can I advocate disbanding the Praetorian Guard when I'm one of them?
True. But what am I going to do now? You're the only person I know who can spell Praetorian. Well, look out. There's your inamorata.
Yeah.
You know her thing with Stubbs only lasted a few weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's shagging Mrs. Ridley's husband now.
Oh, Benjamin. I'm so proud of you. You'll make a wonderful prefect, I know you will.
Do you think so? Do you think I'm doing the right thing?
Of course you're not.
Just because you and your kind want to drag everyone down to your level.
Spoken like a true member of the bourgeoisie.
Benjamin, everything you do is right as far as I'm concerned. I have absolute faith in your judgment.
Right, I'm off. I have to go to the hospital.
Oh, yeah, how is your father, Doug?
As well as you might expect after having his arm broken by a truncheon-wielding copper.
Oh, this is your bus. Don't let me keep you. Ciao, Benjamin.
Cicely? Do you think we could, go for a drink again soon? Well, sometime over the Christmas holidays. Seems ages since we talked.
Oh, gosh, well, yeah, that would be lovely, wouldn't it? Absolute heaven. I'll call you.
Yeah, okay.
I wouldn't hold your breath, Ben.
Oh, shove off, Acorn. I'm not in the mood.
Ben, what are you doing in the hall?
Nothing.
It's freezing out here. Come and sit by the fire. There's still some sprouts left.
Is there any turkey left to go with those delicious, delightful, delectable sprouts, dear?
No, I think Acorn finished it off.
You fed my turkey to that paltry excuse for a feline. Oh, that's regrettable. But anyway, what are we all doing out in the hall?
What's wrong with Dad?
I think he's high on sprouts.
Why don't you just ring him?
Who, Mother?
Just because you're a prefect and Doug's not doesn't mean you can't be friends with him.
I don't think Shostakovich here is missing his comrade in arms.
Who's Shostakovich?
Never mind, Mother. And you, Runty.
Benjamin!
Haven't you got something more important to do? Like working out how to save the economy from the clutches of the IMF?
What, when I could be watching your pathetic face fall even further than the stock market just because Joanna Lumley hasn't called?
Watch it, Runty!
Benjamin, why are you waiting for a phone call from Joanna Lumley?
It's a school project.
With Joanna Lumley?
I think I'll watch a little television now.
Good idea. Eric and Ernie are on in a minute.
And then it's the good old days.
Oh, a palpable perturbation of nostalgia.
Don't take that sardonic tone with me, young man. If the BBC is good enough for the rest of the country, then it's good enough for the likes of us.
Isn't there a documentary on Vermeer on BBC Two?
I wouldn't know about that. Sometimes I wonder whether we did the right thing in sending you to that school.
So do I.
Come on, it's starting. Sam, Ben's doing a school project with Joanna Lumley.
Arsenal. Bring me
sunshine. The Rotters Club starred James Bradshaw, with Sam Bradley, Olivia Colman, Emily Corrie, Hayden Gwynn, Adam Paul Harvey, Alexander Perkins, Stacey Rocker, Christopher Simpson, David Tennant and Frank Skinner. The Rotters Club was written by Jonathan Coe and adapted for radio by Simon Littlefield. The producer was Lucy Armitage.